Good morning to each one of you. It is a joy to be gathered here together this morning. With each one of you, thank you, brothers, for sharing this morning. Brother Denny and Brother Justin, appreciated those thoughts that you shared there. It was a blessing to me. I was thinking of Brother Denny shared there in Matthew 7, or I guess it was 6, yeah. But anyway, I was looking at these verses nearby there. Matthew 7:11. It says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." So the golden rule, the rule of do good, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. There's no one that needs discipleship on how to please himself. That comes built right in. We know how to please ourselves. We know things that we like and we don't like. What we often miss, though, is we miss the aspect that pleasing myself will never fulfill my heart. It'll never make me happy. That there is hidden. That's one of those mysteries that that has been hidden from the ages. You know, you ask a young child, an innocent young child, if he wants to give his toy away to his neighbor. And he'll say, "No, I want to keep it." He's just being honest. But what the child has not yet learned is that giving away or denying myself will make me more like Jesus. It'll fulfill my life. If I always get what I want, I become more and more spoiled or discontent or dissatisfied with life. And at the end of the day, I become a miserable wretch because it will never fulfill my life. So praise God this morning that we have the answers here this morning in the book that I trust most of you are holding this morning. There's a book, it's called the Holy Bible, and the answers and the roadmap to life. The roadmap to us and our families are therein. So this morning, as I was thinking about what I could share with the church here today, the body of Christ, I was just thinking of the Christian home. I was thinking how much need there is in every Christian home to continue to look at our calling as God's children, our calling as fathers. And so I was thinking of having a message on the Christian home. You know, as we think of our homes and our lives today, each one of us, from the youth to the parents to the aged, you know, the thing that we often forget is that our life is but a vapor. It could end today, or it could go on for many years. So each day is a gift. And so I'd like to preach a message out of Ephesians 6, verse 4. It says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Just having that heart this morning as we think of that. Just having a father heart for our families. and recognizing God's calling upon our life as fathers. So I would like to preach today about our homes. Do we as fathers recognize the spiritual and the eternal weight of leading our households? As you think of that, eternity is being shaped in your home. If you think of each soul that is within your home, starting with your own soul as a father, and your wife, and your dear little ones, or young youth, whatever you have, maybe it's just you and your wife, whatever it is, we are shaping eternity by how we live life, by how we interpret the Word of God this morning. So maybe we could all rise and I'll pray before we go further. Lord, as we quiet our hearts here before you this morning, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. I thank you that you have placed everyone in this room by your sovereign hand this morning. You knew where each one would sit. You knew the age that they would be this morning. You knew the health that they would have and the spiritual life that they would have or not have. You knew all things from eternity past. And so we sit here this morning or stand here looking to you, just welcoming your all-seeing eye into our hearts and lives. Lord, teach us today. Teach us to number our days that we could apply our hearts to wisdom. And especially for the fathers here this morning. Ye fathers, is a warning that is given to us in the book of Ephesians in the 6th chapter in the 4th verse. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but lead them and nurture them and admonish them in the ways of the Lord. So what an awesome and a high calling that we have as fathers this morning. So help us to look at that. I pray that that weight would touch my soul this morning again as we look into your word. I thank you for each one that's here. I pray that you would bind the enemy of our souls this morning, that he would have no strength here, no business here, but much the opposite, that the Holy Spirit would have free course. It would be able to move about in and up and down the rows in the pews and in our hearts, Lord. We know that you live. The Comforter lives within our heart if we're born of your Spirit. But we also know that we need to give surrender to everything that you want to do with us. So help us to do that today. We thank you for each one that's here and pray your blessing upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As we think of fathers, I thought of the first father that we can read about in Genesis chapter 4. We see that Adam and Eve, it said they had two boys. Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And so we see that this was the first family that God placed upon the earth in the Garden of Eden. And I don't know how this all happened that day that Cain murdered his brother Abel. But I was thinking about a father. You know, Adam's father heart for his boys. He had two boys and he loved them both and he wanted them to be a blessing. And verse 8 it says, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. You know, they were talking together. That's the first thing that we can read here that was happening. They were communicating. And isn't that often where things start? Is when communication breaks down, or there's a butting of heads, or whatever it might be. Cain talked with Abel, and it came to pass when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and he slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And so the first thing he did after he murdered his brother is he lied. He said, well, I don't know where he's at. And then he took it a step further and he said, am I my brother's keeper? Am I responsible for keeping him? And then the Lord said, in verse 10, he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. So God assured him that he saw his heart and he saw the evilness of his intentions and his deeds. And he assured him that he heard that blood cry. He heard his blood, his brother's blood as it was spilled upon the earth. And it cried up into the heavens. So I don't know what Adam did. We can't read what Adam did or said, but I would venture to believe that it hurt his heart. It pained him to see his two sons fight to the point of death. But we know what God did. God brought judgment. God judged this situation, this murder, and this deceit and lying and lack of love. You know, it's the golden rule that I just read. You know, Cain, he knew what he would have wanted for himself. And was he practicing God's plan? No, he wasn't. But he was going the wrong direction. So this morning I'd like to talk to us as fathers. And the reason I'm going to focus a little more on the fathers, I'd like to talk to everyone, but there's more weight on our lives and our responsibility. Than any other member of the family. God expects more from me than anyone else in my family. If you look at the word ye fathers, another word here is you. It's you. So that's pretty simple. God says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And also would like to say that I would like to think that there's no fathers in this room this morning that have a hard heart, that has a heart that's just obstinate or hard or just kind of like resist or resentful or bitter, whatever. I think Danny talked about bitterness. I hope there's no father here this morning that is bitter or hard, because that puts you basically in the same place as Cain here. Cain is, he was, I believe, bitter, and he was hard. His heart was very hard. So in the Amplified, I'd like to read the verse Ephesians 6:4. It was a blessing to look at the added wording there. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by showing favoritism or indifference to any of them, but bring them up tenderly with loving kindness in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I really appreciated the extra wording there that kind of expands the Greek meanings of these words. So it's there's a lot packed in that one verse for us here this morning. There's been a study done at Harvard University, and it found, this was in July of 93, so this is kind of an old survey here, but it says here that the Harvard University found that American parents spend less time with their children than parents in any other country except Great Britain. Even compared with their Russian counterparts, American fathers spend fewer hours a day interacting with their children. So we see that there's a dearth in the land for fathers that, yeah, you live together, but how much time do you spend with your children? A true father, he teaches kindness by being thoughtful and gracious, even at home. He teaches patience by being gentle and understanding over and over again. He teaches honesty by keeping his promises to his family, even when it costs him. He teaches courage by living unafraid with faith in all circumstances. He teaches justice by being fair and dealing equally with everyone. He teaches obedience to God's word by precept and by example as he reads and prays daily with his family. He teaches love for God and his church as he takes his family to services each week. His steps are important because he looks back and he sees that they're following. His children are following him. And that author is unknown, but I believe it to be true. So question number one, is there peace in your home? You owe it to your children as a father. You're responsible to bring peace in your home. Are kind words commonplace or often heard? Each one of these is a question. And maybe loving responses along with number two. I'm going to call this kitchen table talk. What is being talked about around the kitchen table? Is it harmonious? If you listen as a father, what's being talked about around the kitchen table, you should take special note of what you're hearing. Because it is indicated, there's all kinds of indicator lights that are going off. When you have a family of three children and they're talking around the table, you should have your ear bent. Because that talk is, there's lights coming on. There's indicator lights where things are going. And then number four is the family altar. Is it happening? What is the family altar like? Is there openness? Are there questions that come as you read the Bible? What is the atmosphere in your family altar? So those are things that we'd like to look at today. As we think of fatherhood this morning, I would just like to emphasize it is a tremendously high calling. There is nothing else that's higher than this. As you think of fatherhood this morning, keep in mind you are not a dad by accident. God knew about this long before your children were ever born. Think about each one of your children by name. God is asking you to nurture and to admonish them in the Lord Jesus. He would like for you to know that they are your responsibility. Or maybe you're a husband, but your children have not yet been born. Thinking of the young men. Maybe your children haven't been born yet. You can still pray for them. Pray for your children before you have them. When you become at the age of accountability, or at the for sure getting close to the age of marriage, start having daily prayer about your future and about your future family, if God permits. Because someone is following you, whether you have your own children or not. And you can be a tremendous influence, even as just a young brother in the church, to other young men and other young children. So he had this all planned before you were even born. He knew what he had for you. So Ephesians 6:4, the nurture there is the number 3809 in the Strong's. And it means to discipline. It means to train. It means to chasten. It means to instruct. Brother Clinton Wolf did a good job of teaching us the difference between training and discipline. You know, training is a very important part of the family home, the Christian family. You know, training is when he goes to the sink cabinet and he wants to go under the sink door, just walk up and just tap his hand and say, no, no. You know, just it's not like a hard spanking. It's just a tap on the hand, you know, and keep tapping and say no, and then show him where he should play, what drawers are acceptable to open. So there's a difference between training and discipline, and chastening and instruction. This is the only reference in the Word in the Bible where it talks about nurture there in Ephesians 6:4. That's the only reference that's given in the Strong's for that word. So it's specifically planned for fathers and for families. So I was thinking about peace in the home, and I was looking at the word peace. You know, what is peace? Well, I think it's maybe easier to say what peace isn't. Do you have chaos in your home? That's pretty easy to understand. Chaos is running, screaming, kicking, fighting, yelling, silent treatment, you know, criticizing, whatever that might, that's chaos. But peace in the home is very important. Peace in the workplace, peace wherever you go. I think peace is, that means that there's no weight here in your chest. You know, when you are under conviction and when you are under those types of chaos, you have a pain in your chest. It is, you can't explain where it is, but maybe centrally located, maybe up high. Feels like about right where your heart is, maybe, I don't know. But you have this pain in there that just kind of, it takes your appetite. It takes your ability to think clearly and to be peaceful. And so there's a way to have an operation to get rid of that, you know, and it's not done at the local Parkview Medical Center, but it's done on your knees before a holy God. And it's done with confession of sin to those who are hurt by that or who have been affected by your situation. And so I'd like to look at Revelation 6:4. There's a verse there. It's the second seal that talks about peace. And I thought it was a very interesting verse. The second seal in Revelation 6, verse 4. And it says, "And there went out another horse that was red, and the power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard him talk, heard the beast say, 'Come and see.'" So I'm not going to go on into that, but I want to talk about the second seal. And I'd like for us to notice especially here that there's coming a day when peace is going to be removed from this earth. There's not a lot of peace here today. If you would go to the local towns and the inner cities and the streets and the drugs and all the things that are happening, or maybe even in a home nearby. But, you know, the thing is peace is going to be removed. That red horse, that fiery red horse, he's going to come and he's going to take peace. I don't know how he's going to do that. But somehow peace is going to be taken away. And there's going to be trouble everywhere. There's going to be tribulation. There's going to be challenge and anguish and torment. There's going to be things that it won't be possible to survive long, even as a child of God, I believe, according to Revelation. So as we think of that, that's why we're preparing today our families to walk in peace, because we will need that to be, you know, if you're here on this earth, when that second seal is opened and the peace is taken away, it'll be a terrible day. Peace in the Strong's means harmony, tranquility, safety, welfare, health, often with an emphasis on the lack of strife. What is strife? Maybe we could have a raise of hand. What is strife this morning? What does it look like? Give me a thought or a word of what is strife? Fighting. Yeah, that's a good one. Bickering back and forth. Go ahead. Argumentative, quarrelsome. Yes, just awful things. Lying one to another. many things like that. So as we think of that, when one has peace with God, it's often used as a verbal or written greeting. It's reconciliation in a relationship. That's peace. So the opposite of that is whatever is broken, whatever is falling down, whatever is, just awful. That is a lack of peace. And that second seal, that red horse, is coming, and he's going to take away everything that's on this earth that is peaceful. Anything that's here that's peaceful now is a result of the Jesus Christ. It's a result of Jesus Christ's work in the heart. Then in Philippians 5, verse 3, it says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and children of the day. Ye are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." This is a calling, I believe, for fathers this morning. Is be careful when you hear the times that are coming when they'll say, "Oh, there's peace and there's safety." Come out and see. It says there's going to be sudden destruction as travail upon a woman with child. So that's a warning that is given there in light of peace. But we all enjoy peace this morning. Or I should say we can. We can enjoy it here in this place together today. It is up to us somewhat. The word admonition, it means a warning, an admonition, or an instruction. "But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." That same word, admonition, is used in 1 Corinthians 10:11, which says, "Now all these things happen unto them for examples. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." So this talking about the holy book, the Holy Bible. It is written for our admonition. Titus 3:10 is the same word. "A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject." So it's saying here that as you admonish someone in the ways of the Lord or as a father, there is a time as once they become adults and are, you know, walking with the Lord and they reject admonition or reject counsel. You know, there comes a time when it says that, you know, we should reject them. So fathers means you, ye fathers. It's talking about you. If you're a father here this morning, clearly this is showing us this morning that it is our responsibility before our God as an earthly father to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, I was thinking about that. It is very easy. It's natural for a father to love his children. And if that's not there, then there's other problems that are much bigger. But as a whole, even in an unconverted sense or, you know, outside of the of a godly home, there's a natural love for children. And so I just want to give this warning here. When your children do wrong or sin, don't defend them. There is a practice that has happened to many, many homes where the children fall into sin because of lack of direction and lack of teaching in the home. And then those who are trying to help, they push them away and they defend the sin that the child has committed. And I would say I have seen that turn out very, very badly. It will continue its vicious cycle. Yes, we love our children so much that if they fall into sin, we correct them. We admonish them because we want to sustain that life. So as a father this morning, I can't point my finger at them, wherever. That don't turn out right. Don't point your finger at others in light of your family if there's things that aren't going right. That brings chaos in the home and in the whole situation. I was thinking of sitting here this morning. I remember we had kind of a memory flashback of sitting here with our four children, and when they were just young, and here's a little note that my wife still had in her Bible. This is from Stephen, and it says, "To Mom and Dad," and he puts a little heart there, and he writes, "I love you." Puts a little lighthouse here, and there's fish in the pond, and then there's a tractor down here with a hay wagon behind it, and a little boy below it with his arms up, and he's enjoying life. He's happy. And so what was happening in the little boy's heart who wrote a nice note like that and they want to give it to their mom? Sloma would always draw a little picture of our house and with the dormers on it, and she'd write something nice to us as parents, and she would hand it to us. And so if that's happening here in this room, that's a good indicator light. That means something good is happening. If you're not getting any notes from your children, there's an indicator light going off, and I would encourage you to check it out. Figure out do a diagnostic test and try to discern what is happening in that child's heart. But yeah, it just kind of brought a flood of memories to my heart here this morning. I see that. The other day I was sitting beside a brother, and I seen he had his Bible open, and he had a note in there. It was from one of his little children, and it was a special note to his daddy. And that is so precious. That is so precious. That tells you that there's something good happening there. There's a relationship. That father is, there's peace in his home. There's kind words being often heard. Yes, there are words of correction that we bring at times that need to be in place. That's admonition. Son, we are not going to do that. In this kitchen table talk, it's table talk about what I was doing today, what I'd like to do tomorrow, and Daddy, would you help me? Would you help me understand that? And there's questions. The family altar. Are there questions coming from the Word of God? Is it happening in your home? But peace should be sought after with all diligence. And with as much emphasis as you can muster up. Peace is so important in a home. Children, where there's no peace in the home, they get involved with awful things. Whether it's moral failure or whether there's various things that happen. The thing that I would like to say here, and I'm going to talk about this later, but, you know, I understand that we live in a broken world. We live in a fallen world because of sin, and not every home is going to have a father. We understand that's not going to happen. But we should do all we can while we have this moment. You know, if I would put an hourglass up here, you know, that sand that's trickling through there, that's you and I here this morning. We don't know how long our hourglass has yet. That top portion is hidden. President Trump signed a peace deal between Hamas and Israel in October of 25. that Hamas is an Islamic militant group that governs the Gaza Strip. He said that it was the first of its kind in 3,000 years. But we know this morning that it didn't last. It didn't last because it was not from God. It was not because hearts were blended through Jesus Christ. And I'm always blessed when presidents try to make peace deals. We all like peace. Peace is important even in a country level. But we know it won't last if it's not in Christ. Many, many peace deals have been signed over the years. But lasting peace will not come until Jesus comes. Or we continue to walk surrendered in His will. Romans 2, verse 9, tribulation and anguish, torture and confinement upon every soul of man that does evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile. But glory and honor, verse 10, inner peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also the Gentile. That's Romans chapter 2, that but glory and honor and peace. The meaning of that peace there is inner peace. So do you have that inner peace this morning? As a father, it's of utmost importance that I have this inner peace before I can demonstrate it to my family. James 2, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. When we get wisdom from God, it's first very pure, and then it's peaceable, and then it's gentle, and then it's easy to be entreated. You can approach it. It's full of mercy and good fruits, and it's without partiality and without hypocrisy. Hypocrisy in a father produces anger in children. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So if you find yourself lacking peace this morning, or maybe you feel like you have a level of it, yet you don't have what you'd like to have, pursue it. Pursue Jesus Christ. John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. He wants to give it to you and I here this morning if we don't have it. Not as the world gives. That world is what I just spoke about with Trump signing a peace deal with, Israel and Hamas. He's also working on the Abraham Accord, which is basically trying to bring all of them heathen nations together and to make them be peaceful. It'll never happen until they're converted, until they see Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So as we think of that this morning, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard now that I have said unto you, I go away. He was going to ascend into heaven. And I come again unto you. If ye loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. Jesus gave glory to His Father. And I would just like to encourage all the children and youth here this morning that honor your father and mother. They may have made some grave mistakes, but honor them. Honor your father and mother. God will bless you, even if they are unconverted this morning. The God, He smiles when authority is honored. Yes, we are not here promoting any type of wrong things, but There is something that God honors when children obey their parents in the Lord. Yes, there are times when after you get to the age of accountability and you get out from under your parents and you get born again, you can't always do what they would have thought was best because you're following Jesus. But yet there is a way to honor them. There is a way to do that. And they'll know it if you do. That's the secret right there. Your parents will know, even if you're not in their church or in their home, they will know if you honor them. Can a man rob God? The scripture says. Well, the answer is no. But we can rob our family of peace by how I live or don't live. Let's talk about kindness in the home. Do we see frustration as a sin? Or just as an excusable failure? I believe frustration that is destroying your home is sin. If it's robbing your family of peace, it's sinful. Kind and peaceful words will shape your family for eternity in heaven. So as we nurture and admonish our families, we are shaping them for eternity, preparing them for eternity. Frustrating words will destroy and scatter your home from the inside. We will give an account for every idle word, Jesus said. Are you known as a father, mother, sister, brother with gracious words? Are you known for gracious words in your home? And there I included the family. Father, mother, sister, brother, and children. Are you known for gracious words? Is there someone here this morning that had a verbally abusive or angry father and has a wounded heart or spirit? Jesus is saying, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28-30. I will never heal until I forgive. It's a mandate. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's a mandate that stands in heaven. So I will never heal until I forgive. And yes, there's been awful things happened. We understand that. But the mandate still, the answer is still the answer. Luke 4:21, and he began to say unto them, Jesus, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears, and all bear him witness and wondered at his gracious words, verse 22, which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this Joseph's son? Is this that young boy that we remembered seeing at the carpenter shop? And these gracious words that are coming out of his mouth. Matthew 12, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof on the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. So you see, their hearts was not right. When he started penetrating right into their hearts, he started talking to them about their idle words. And he started talking about, what the core issues are. Then all of a sudden they were like, hey, we want to see a sign. We want to see a sign. And that's awful. That's a wicked heart. A wicked and unbelieving heart. Many children are asking this morning across this land, Daddy, will you be there for me? Daddy, please don't be an absentee father. Don't just ignore me most of my life. In just a few short years, I'll be gone. I'll be out of the home. Just take this moment. But as dads this morning, we need to secure our own hearts in the love of the Father in order to pass this to the next generation. Are you at peace this morning as a father? Can you sit together with your children, your growing sons and daughters? Can you sit together with them and talk about the real things in life? And yes, it can be as practical as son or daughter. Are you dabbling in social media that I don't know about? Do you have a secret account set up where you're interacting with hundreds of people and showing them pictures of yourself and all those things? I think a father would have the duty to do that. He has that duty to sit down with his son or daughter and say, I'm here to help you. I love you, and I am responsible for you, and I love you so much. I want to make sure that you don't get swept into this untoward generation. So as fathers, never, never shy away from confronting the things that you face in your home. Yes, we know that it's very important that husbands and wife are on the same page. And if that's not there, then you probably have an additional challenge to work with. And may God pour His grace upon your life. But don't shrink back. You know, this strong command, ye fathers. God is calling from heaven, ye fathers, rise up. Yeah, He's not saying go get the stick out. No, He's saying sit down and communicate. Reason together. You would be surprised. Most of us are surprised at how few meetings most families have. Like where you get the dad and the mom at the kitchen table or the family altar, and everyone in the home is present, and we talk about real things. These are things that I'm struggling with. Dad says, yeah, I missed it here. Would you pray for me? I didn't treat you quite right. I spoke harshly. Whatever it is. Can your children, in order for them to open up, sometimes you have to come back and revisit. Are there areas that I have offended you to the point where you can't communicate? Offenses will come back and forth. But as a father, are you at peace this morning, and are your children at peace? I think you know. In John 15:9, Jesus says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. A father plays a huge role in your sense of self-worth. You know, whether you're married today or whether you're still at home, your father plays a huge role in your self-worth and your confidence level of your position in Christ. Even as a youth here this morning, for many of us, our father was our first hero, our first protector, and our first example. I was just especially touched last Sunday, I think it was, when we had the children go up front in the dining hall to sing that song, Daddy, Will You Be There For Me? That was a blessing. But I seen this one little boy, he came running back to his daddy, and he was crying. And I wondered what happened. And then the dad told me later, he said, every time we sing that song, Daddy, Will You Be There For Me? It just caused him to cry. And he came and he cried on his dad's lap, and his dad started crying. And so that's a beautiful thing. That is a beautiful thing that can happen when there's love in the home, when fathers and sons are like this. God smiles on that. There can be a lot of things wrong, but that if that's happening, God smiles on it. And if and the opposite is true as well. If our Father was not our hero, if He was not our protector or not our example, there's a lot happens there. Fathers play a pivotal God-given role in shaping their children's self-esteem, confidence in who God is. When fathers are engaged and present in their children's lives, it produces a sense of security, stability, belonging, and identity. You know, don't forget about the identity part. You know, I was always blessed, you know, when my children were still all home. Anytime there was a service here, anytime there was a Wednesday night or whatever, they all wanted to come. They never were of a mindset, oh, I don't want to go. I'm tired, you know. They never were that. If the doors were open, they wanted to be here. And may we, that's an identity. That is an identity. You know, they identify with the people in that fellowship here regularly. And that's not to lift them up or me or whatever, but it's just to give an example. Galatians 6:7 says, God is not mocked. Be not deceived. If you are living in peace, a peaceful countenance will show on your face. If you are living in peace with God, it'll show on your face. Or there will be a gnawing sensation in your soul that you have tried for years to find peace with God, and you've never found it. Come to Jesus today. And then there's others that maybe say, well, I've tried that. I've tried to come to Jesus, and it just didn't work. That's not true. That is not true. I understand you may have missed it. It may not have happened. There may still be a need there, but it's not true that you came to Jesus and it didn't work. That's never true. So this is a staggering survey. America leads the world in single-parent household rates, with the large majority of those households missing a father. In 2023, nearly one in four children in America, ages 0 to 17, totaling about 19 million children. Think about these 19 million children. We're living in a household without their biological step or adoptive father, mostly with their mother, 85% of the cases. In fact, living in a single parent household with a father absent is the second most common U.S. living arrangement. And the proportion of these households have doubled since 1970. Single-parent households in the U.S. are the result of various factors, including declining marriage rates, divorce, widowhood, non-married, parents who split up, and parents who are single by choice. According to the global survey of 130 countries, this is sobering, 130 countries conducted in 2019 by Kramer, the U.S. had the highest rate of children living with a single parent. Households of any nation in the world than households of any nation in the world, and about 23% or more than three times the worldwide level. So, yeah, I saw a graph, and it basically, you know, it was all these countries, and U.S. was at the top for the least amount of fathers in the home. And that's sobering. But I would also like to give us a warning with that. That will affect the society, and we can see it. Alternate lifestyles, those kinds of things. People trying to find themselves. It's a result of not having a godly home. So in closing here, I want to read Ephesians 6:4 again. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by showing favoritism or indifference to any of them, but bring them up in tenderness, in loving kindness, in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. God bless you all.